Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your Son came to save all the world. We ask that through these readings, the Holy Spirit will show us more and teach us to obey. Amen. Please sit down. I want to begin by talking about perceptions, by which I mean what we see and what we understand by what we see. Do you know that silhouetted shape, which when you look at it one way, you see a vase, and when you look at it another way, you see two people looking at each other? Now, you may know that, you may not. But here's another example that I've bought, which is a piece of embroidery, which when you look at it, you may just see purple shapes. But if you look at it another way, you can see the name of Jesus. And that's what Epiphany is all about, actually coming to see Jesus. I remarked recently how lovely it was to see a stop sign outside Ardley Church. It reminded me of the stop signs asking Father Christmas to stop, and I thought it was a good idea that more people would stop and come to church. My listener was mystified, and when I looked again as I drove more slowly on the way to Dedham, I saw it was a Christingle orange with a candle on top. True, it was round, and it had a ribbon of red round it, signifying the blood of Jesus given for the whole world. Well, when I learnt that, my perception changed. It was no longer a stop sign, it was a Christingle symbol proclaiming Jesus Christ. Now, if we apply these thoughts to chapter 2 of St. Matthew, we can say that I think all of us here have known the facts since primary school. We know that three kings went to the stable, because don't we see them there before our eyes each Epiphany? From the carol, we know they came from Persian lands afar, mounted on their camels. There is even an opera called Amal and the Night Visitors, produced in the last century when I saw it, which clearly shows that the mysterious visitors came at night. From these examples and our nativity plays and Christmas cards, we have a clear picture of the event we're considering. Our perception is clear. But if we come at it from another angle, perhaps we would see something else and something more significant. Well, first, if you look at the text, you will see there is no mention of Persia, just that magi, not kings, came from the east. You can hunt too for the word camel. That was in Isaiah. There are three gifts, but we're not told how many magi or wise men went. They went to a stable? No. If you look at verse 11, you will see they went to a house. So Mary and Joseph had obviously sought better shelter for their son Jesus, and he was in a house. So it's worth shedding all our preconceived ideas and looking again at the text with the help of the Holy Spirit. Reading the Christmas booklet we were given from the church this year, I had my perceptions altered when a question about the chief priests and teachers of the law was raised. If they knew the prophecy, why did they not go immediately to find the promised one? Their head knowledge could not have been clearer. They knew the facts about Bethlehem and a ruler and a shepherd of Israel. Yet they did nothing. It reminded me that we can be stuck with just the facts about Jesus and miss out going to him who he is and worshipping him and praying to him. We all need the heart of the wise men who took action and went on a search for Jesus. Perhaps you can imagine what it must have been like when they went to that house and opened the door and they saw the Christ child and his parents. There must have been the most wonderful atmosphere of love that came out of that room, changing their hearts forever. And that's our final destiny, to keep on getting to know Jesus better and better, until one day, as one of the hymns said, we see him as he is. That gives us comfort and confidence when we face death. Now, another way to change our perceptions is to look back at our Bibles, at the prophecies concerning this event. And the one that came to my mind was Numbers chapter 24, verse 7. You may be surprised that I've gone so far back to the time of Moses. Now, on their journey to the promised land, God had protected Israel and delivered them from all their enemies. Now, the people of Moab thought they were next. And Balak, thinking his army perhaps wasn't up to scratch, decided on a spiritual strategy. He decided to curse Israel. And he hired Balaam the prophet to do that. Now, Balaam encountered many difficulties on his journey. You may remember Balaam's ass from that story. And when he stood up to curse, all he could do was bless. He was asked four times from four different places to curse Israel, but he couldn't. And in the last prophecy, he says these wonderful words, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel." That's Jesus. Think how our horizons can be changed by that word. Behind the protection and blessing of Israel, which many found extraordinary, was the plan of God that one day, nearly 1,500 years later, the blessing of the coming Messiah or Christ would be fulfilled. Jesus Christ was born, and a bright star in the sky was a sign to Gentiles seeking the true God. God was expanding the horizon of his people, the Jews, by showing the Messiah or Christ comes for the whole world. The task, which we have too, is to take that message out. Our commission as Christians is to tell the good news about salvation to every living person, and there's still much to do. Now, Psalm 72 is another place in the Old Testament where we find this revelation of God's plan. That was written in the time of David and Solomon. But it's not just about Israel's kings. It's about the coming king, as we sang tonight. He's going to be a wonderful, righteous ruler and sort things out. And it says, for instance, the kings of Tarshish and of different shores will bring tribute to him. And may gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray to him and bless him all day long. Again, we can say this psalm is about the whole world sharing the blessing of love and fellowship with the one true God. That's why Epiphany is so named. The word means manifesting, revealing, or showing the glory of God through Jesus Christ to the Jews first, then as well to the Gentiles. That is, to all nations who are not Jews. So as our disciples here in Dedham and Ardley, our job is to pray and work together to take out this good news of Jesus into our villages. And we've got this event coming up next week of sharing Alpha with people. And even further afield, because you'll remember, the main thing is for people to see Jesus. That's what Epiphany is about. That's why the wise men travelled so far through difficult conditions to find him. In that psalm too, there are references to worship. All the kings will bow down to him and all nations will serve him. And may his name endure forevermore. May it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him and they will call him blessed. Our narrative in Matthew, by referencing these scriptures, reveal that Jesus is a king whose gift is gold, and a king who is also worshipped and whose gift is frankincense. But what about that third gift, myrrh? For this I would turn in the Old Testament to Isaiah 53. This is part of what's called the suffering servant prophecy. There we read, "He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth." This prophecy led many Jews not to recognize this Jesus. Their perceptions were different. They expected a Messiah to come in the shape of a warrior. And in Jesus' time, they hoped that warrior would drive out the Romans. They couldn't see that the one true God, when he came to earth, that his identity would be to suffer. That was very hard for them to see that. And they don't include that reading of Isaiah 53 in their lectionary, their weekly readings, because it's such a stumbling block. But let us not fall into that trap of failing to see Jesus as the one who takes our place by dying on the cross for the sin of the whole world, our sin included. And the other perception that we could get wrong is to have the attitude of Herod, who, sensing a rival to his ego, sought to destroy the child Jesus and remove him from his life. That is what we do when we put self first and don't bow the knee to Jesus and give our lives to him. So myrrh is the final gift, and it points to the cross. And so our perception of the coming of the baby in the crib is radically widened. We see the depths of this wonderful mystery of his coming in humility to save the world. There you have it, prophecies of a star, of golden frankincense, and finally of myrrh. As the Magi, I did not know the prophecy concerning Bethlehem as the birthplace of Jesus. It's unlikely they knew the other prophecies. Yet they had been touched by the Spirit of God and drawn to God made flesh by something they did understand, a star. As we make room for the Holy Spirit to work among us, he will draw others to Jesus. He knows everything about the people we are praying for as we plan Alpha. And it's his love which, as we pray, will find a way to reveal himself and bring them in as the time comes. Our prayer, amazingly, gives opportunity to the Holy Spirit to work. So let's pray too for ourselves. We who have the Bible, the scriptures, the word of God, that we won't just see the surface, but seek by following our star to see more deeply into the things of God. Perhaps like the wise men, the Magi, we're looking for fulfillment in the wrong place, who went to Jerusalem instead of humble Bethlehem. We all have to adjust, and I think a new year is a good time to adjust our spiritual gaze. And two, there are nominal Christians all around us, and we ask God to seek them and to waken them to the power of his word and have their perceptions of Jesus Christ changed. He is going to be the ruler of the whole universe. He is, as we've sung, not only the Alpha, the beginning, but also the Omega, the end. In him all things will be drawn together. So isn't it important that everyone knows about Jesus and what he's done for us? So God's love is for all. Epiphany tells us to look to the far horizon and be willing to be part of the missionary advances of our time. There are still millions of people who have never heard the name of Jesus. Thankfully, there are always people prepared to travel and give their time so that these people may be touched by Jesus. But they need our support. They need our prayers as well. And the most remarkable thing happened to me today. It just happened that in my prayer cycle, I was praying for people in the Philippines, right, long, far away. And two people from the Philippines came into Ardney Church by mistake, but they came. And they said that must have been God. So wasn't that lovely? Two Christians from the Philippines came. So you never know what your prayers will do. And that's what I encourage us all to do, as well as come to Jesus, the source of everything. But also we have to pray and work together with him. And that's the most wonderful thing about our great, almighty and powerful God. He could do anything he wants. But he longs to draw us all right into his purposes so that we work together with him. And don't put yourself down. He will use us in ways beyond our understanding in the coming year as obediently we surrender to Jesus, to that newness of life that he gives to each of us, and worship him in our hearts. And ask him to anoint our lips with blessing. Blessing for other people. Blessing for our villagers. So that their perceptions as well as ours may be widened and deepened in this year, 2019. Pray that, shall we? Amen.